And then just like all the weird shit with his weird cult island that he has going on.
But I'm sorry, what? He's got an island? That never turns out well.
Yeah, he's got, you can go and do the Mars Island. It's a 3-night music festival and spiritual retreat organized by his band.
The network children ask for by name. The Defenestrate Media Network.
What happens when mixtapes meet memes? This is Gen Zex. Join JM Bell and Braxton Bunnell as they break down the news, music, movies, trends, and moments that shape Gen X and the world Gen Z is creating right now. We're judging the worlds that raised us, from landlines to smartphones. This is Gen Zex, the culture that was versus the culture that's trending.
You are listening to the world's greatest multi-generational pop culture podcast. I did it.
We did it.
I did it.
We got an opening. We're like, what, like 6-7 episodes in?
This is, I believe, our eighth episode.
Eighth episode. Time does fly, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, I was sitting down getting ready to record with Tiffany yesterday. Didn't ultimately end up happening. But like that show has 45 episodes and we barely do it. You know, they just add up. We're almost at 750 for the left show?
Six, I think so.
600 and something, you know, for the comic book show. I've been doing this a minute. Yeah, 736. We just did 736 on the left show. For those that are paying attention, we did not drop the left show or the comic book podcast this week. I'll go ahead. Some medical stuff, some family stuff. Everything just sort of popped up, and Sunday just needed to not happen as per usual.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be taking another Sunday off in June for my mother-in-law's recommitment ceremony, which I'm really looking forward to.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, great, great, great woman, Tiffany's mom. She's a lot of fun. I don't know. It's this week we finally found a way to get Tiffany into the specialist for her condition.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the first step of a long walk down a very windy road. But it's a first step.
Yeah, it's a step.
Yep. And it's weird how finding out that we got into the specialist made certain family members be like, oh, whew, glad everything's okay now.
Like, so, yeah. Glad it's fixed.
No, there's no magic pill for this. Which is unfortunate because I'm a magic pill guy, you mm-hmm. know, I don't know. Okay. Two things. This one personal has no business being on the show whatsoever. I'm going to talk about it anyway. I play a little game in my head, a three wishes game. If I were to find a genie in a bottle, what would my three wishes be? And I refine them and they change over time, you know, mm-hmm. but one of them I would definitely burn off making Tiffany feel better.
Yeah, I mean that's fair.
The other one would be me looking like Chris Hemsworth in the first Thor movie.
Okay.
There's got to be something in there for me.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's your genie. It's got to be a little self-serving. You know, be a little indulgent.
Maybe Wolverine's healing factor. I know. It's, you know,
just a little something for me.
Just a little something for me. But that's it. No, the other thing is went and saw Kyla, my daughter, came down and took me to see The Mandalorian and Grogu.
Oh, how was that?
It was so much fun. She has never watched an episode of Mandalorian.
Okay.
Before you guys at me, and you're welcome to at me because we really would like to increase engagement. But before you at me, just know she's an adult. I can't make her watch shit anymore. You know, mm-hmm. And I did. I made the kids sit down with me at one point to watch A New Hope. And boy, I hit them young. I hit them too young, I think. They were bored. They did not enjoy it. You know, they were okay with Marvel movies, but trying to get them into Star Wars was fucking impossible. Though, you know, Kyla took the Star Trek really well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so she'll enjoy that when it's on. I don't know. But so we went and saw Mandalorian and Grogu, and it was fun. It was so much fun. You know, it's the guy who wears the suit the most, whose name I can't remember all of a sudden, and the stunt cord or the stunt man who wears the suit for stunts,
mm-hmm.
got title cards with Pedro Pascal.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And you know who else got a title card?
Hmm.
Martin Scorsese.
Oh yeah, he plays that like four-armed monkey thing.
I honestly, I for the life of me can't remember. He was just the voice.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like Martin Scorsese, the guy who hates Marvel movies, is fine to jump onto a fucking Star Wars movie, which mm-hmm. I would argue and would probably be backed up by several people, are a lot more risible and banal than most you know, than most Marvel movies. I enjoy them all, but I'm just saying.
It won't work on anything Kevin Feige does, but we'll hop on the first Filoni slop he's offered.
It's weird. Just so yeah. fucking weird. And I mean, but I, at the same time, what a get.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And who the fuck did the ask?
Yeah, who went to Scorsese and was like, do you want to play this monkey?
Yeah.
In the Star Wars movie?
Yeah.
I bet his daughter likes Star Wars.
It's got to be something like that. Somebody in the family, maybe a grandkid.
Yeah, maybe somebody's related to really likes Star Wars, and so he was like, "I'll do it." It's kind of like it was Werner Herzog being in the first season of The Mandalorian.
He's
really threw me off.
I don't know if you know the story or not, but Werner Herzog is the reason Grogu is practical.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was talking to Favreau, and Favreau was, you know, going back and forth between how much CG and how much practical, and Herzog's basically, don't be a pussy. Do it or don't do it.
You have to make the puppet a
You have to make the puppet effect. Dance. Yeah. Yeah, I love that fucking story. It tickles me. That I mean, that's it. I don't know if you've ever watched Conan O'Brien Must Go, but Herzog does the voiceover for the opening, and it's just brutal. I mean, it is just the meanest shit ever said about Conan O'Brien in the classiest way. I love it. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love it. I love that guy.
Well, every time I think of Werner Herzog, I just think about him talking about how stupid chickens are. In that clip from that documentary that I can't remember the name of, where he's just talking, if you ever look a chicken in the eyes, you see the enormity of the stupidity of the chicken.
I love that dude. I love it. It's almost, it's as fun to me as Cronenberg being in Star Trek Discovery.
Mm.
He played the time agent that first popped up on Enterprise.
Okay.
Yeah, and he plays him old, obviously. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, you know, I mean, him, Holly Hunter coming back, coming on for Academy, even though it got canceled. Giamatta, mm-hmm. you know, Paul Giamatta being in it. I mean, you get some heavy talent moving its way into sci-fi over the last few years. Mm-hmm. Even going back into the 90s with Samuel L. Jackson as Mace Windu.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, the reason that the good guys don't have blue lightsabers and the bad guys don't have red, white, all the colors are messed up is because he wanted a purple one.
How do you tell him no?
Yeah, how do you tell Sam Jackson, no, you can't have a purple lightsaber?
You can't. It's not possible. Okay. I believe I went first last week.
Yes.
So why don't we go ahead and get started at your leisure? Why don't you introduce what you're talking about and tell me something about your childhood?
Yeah. So we're not going to be going back too far for this one, although it feels like an eternity ago. Bar back to the distant year of 2016. Let's see.
It's not very long ago.
No, it's not very long ago, but apparently it was a very formative memory for me. U.S. presidential election, Donald Trump defeated Hillary Clinton in a highly polarized, unexpected Electoral College victory. Back there again, I guess. Brexit referendum. British voters narrowly choose to leave the European Union in a historic referendum that sent global markets tumbling and prompted the resignation of Prime Minister David Cameron.
Good riddance.
The Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia died suddenly in February, igniting a prolonged political standoff after Senate Republicans refused to hold hearings for President Obama's nominee, Merrick Garland.
Yep.
And then, on August 5th, 2016, the hit movie, Oscar-winning movie, Suicide Squad, released.
Ooh, that Jared Leto powerhouse.
Oh, yeah, that Jared Leto vehicle.
Yeah.
This movie falls into a category for me that I enjoy quite a bit. Of so bad it's good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Although some parts of this movie are just straight up boring.
Also true.
But this movie occupies the same area in my mind as like Tommy Wiseau's The Room, Birdemic, just all that stupid just schlock that is just put out there into the world and everything is worse off for it. But I love it because in most cases, you can tell that the director had a vision and they tried, and they just tried with what they had.
Yes.
I do not feel that way about this movie. I feel like this movie was made purely to try and start a soulless superhero universe because Marvel was doing well.
Yeah, that's fair.
And everybody wanted a piece of that pie.
I do. But,
oh, I do. Absolutely, I do. But the reason that I enjoy this movie so much is the first time I saw it. It was me and a group of my friends. We had some people in town because my friend was filming a movie. Just a little like homemade monster movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so at this point, I think a few of us had gone home because we were from all across the country. And we were done filming for the day and we were kind of looking for something to do. And Suicide Squad had come out a couple weeks prior. So it was starting to hit like the dollar theaters and stuff like that.
Quickly.
And very quickly. So we went to this little tiny theater off 33rd. Where it's where the big megaplex is now.
Right.
Or where it's like next door was this little theater.
I do. I remember that it was over sort of near the Burger King.
Mm-hmm.
Across from where the pie is now.
Mm-hmm.
And the theaters were shaped like they were dome theaters.
Yeah.
Concrete dome theaters. It looked like a couple of boobs right there off 33rd.
Yeah. And when we went to there, we could tell, because I think like this was probably the last movie that got shown there, because that theater was gone pretty shortly after.
Yeah.
But when we went there, the experience of getting the movie started, I didn't realize at the time, was going to perfectly encapsulate the experience of watching this movie.
I'm intrigued. I'm ready.
We get to this theater. There is no one at the counter. And there appears to be no one in the building. And so we wait around for a minute, and this person comes up, and we buy our tickets. And then she tells us what theater we're going to be in. So we go to the theater, we walk in. Theater's completely dark. There's no lights on at all. There's no previews playing. We got there probably about 5 minutes before the movie was supposed to start.
Okay.
And we go and find our seats and figure, just because it's like an older theater, they probably don't have previews. No, they probably got this. They probably didn't get the money for previews or whatever. They probably barely had the money for this movie. So we went and sat down, and we waited for probably about 10, 15 minutes, and the movie just didn't start. And the entire time we're looking around this theater, and this theater has not been cleaned at all.
Mm-hmm.
There's like piles of popcorn on the floor. Parts of the floor are sticky. There's still like drinks in cup holders. And so we go out and we talk to the person at the counter and let them know that our movie hasn't started. It was supposed to start a few minutes ago. And they said, okay, we'll get it handled. And then we go back in the theater, and another 5 minutes, the movie just starts, like no lead up, just starts with the production screens.
Nice, nice.
And as the movie was going, I think about 10 minutes in, a couple more groups came in. I think in total, there were maybe 10 of us in this theater. And This movie is the primary reason why I don't like going to movies on my own anymore, is because of just how much fun it was to sit and watch just a terrible movie in the theater. Very clear that like this experience is not meant to be taken seriously, because this theater is not taking it seriously. So why should we?
That's fair.
So there were several times like I can't remember what point it was. I had to get up and leave the theater because I was laughing so hard and people were like turning around and looking at me. I remember very distinctly towards the end of the movie when they're going in to fight the Enchantress and Killer Croc is getting ready to go into like the subway tunnels that are flooded with water. And he goes, I live underground, y'all's just tourists. And then he turns around and scuttles into the water. My friend Jacob was laughing so hard, he was choking. And he got up and left the theater. And I don't think he came back for like 10 minutes.
But there was a lot of bad in that movie.
Oh, just a horrible, horrible movie. You could tell, like, I felt really bad, because I could tell that Margot Robbie was trying.
Yeah.
No, as Harley Quinn.
I would. Okay. So let me run through a couple of actors. Joel Kinnaman, Rick Flagg.
Oh,
he was good. And he took the job seriously.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and he was been great in the good Suicide Squad.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a wonderful actor. I'm a big fan. Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn did a spectacular job with a lot of very misogynistic dialogue and stage direction.
Yes,
when
absolutely.
When I compare Suicide Squad to like her movie, the Harley Quinn movie.
Oh, the Birds of Prey.
Yeah, the hair was different. The clothes were covering and still wacky fun. Even compared to the Suicide Squad, I think she was taken far more seriously by James Gunn.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
The big problem I have with her character is it's not her fault.
Yeah.
It's just the writing.
Bad. It's,
the whole thing is, because like the whole thing, for those who haven't seen it, the whole thing is Harley Quinn is like separated from the Joker. Like her and the Joker are done.
They broke up. They're on a break.
But all the script has her do is think about the Joker.
Sort of an anti-Bechdel test.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, all she can do is like think about the Joker and talk about the Joker. And so it's nice to see her be taken seriously in the role of Harley Quinn, because I think she does a really good Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
I think she gets the character's energy really well, you know, whatever your opinion is on Harley Quinn. I think she absolutely nails it. I think she did great in Birds of Prey. It was cool to see her in her own movie where she could really kind of flesh out the character.
Yes. Pun intended.
Yes. I think that Will Smith as Deadshot was a miscast. I think that one was a little rough.
I mean, why? Why? Mm-hmm. Why Will Smith?
Yeah, why the Fresh Prince?
Just cause? Like, you know, like, was he the guy that answered the phone that day? Well, I mean, did he lose a bet?
He had to be. Yeah, he had to be, because like I get the reasons his character is doing what he's doing, but I don't believe any of it.
Mm-mm. It's
just, I don't believe his acting. I don't, he's one of those characters or one of those actors that I feel like is kind of on the same plane as like The Rock now, where he just kind of plays himself.
Yes.
In every movie he's in.
He's had some good stuff.
Yeah. No, you know? He's had some great movies. I mean, yeah. Independence Day, for what it was fun.
Yeah.
You know, and he had fun with it. It very much seemed like he was doing this for a paycheck. And I wasn't watching Deadshot. It was Will Smith with a gun.
Yeah. No, I'm absolutely with you.
And then I guess that'll bring me to the most tragic casting in this. Jared Leto as the Joker. When this movie really tried to convince me that Jared Leto is scary. When just like his everyday actions convince me that he's a scary individual.
Yeah, Jared Leto's weird.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they could have played. I'm fine with fresh takes. I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give me something I haven't seen before. I don't care. You know, I'm not precious, especially against bad guys. But
mm-hmm.
with what you wanted to do and how you wanted to make Joker in this movie, you know, as a crime boss, Jared Leto is not the actor to try and give me that particular brand of psychological gravitas.
Oh, absolutely not. What it comes down to for me is Joker is the clown prince of crime.
Mm-hmm.
Emphasis on clown.
Yep.
He does it because he thinks crime is funny and he likes messing with the Batman.
Yeah.
And then you can get into like the analysis of Joker, of him being like the embodiment of Gotham's criminal underworld, and he's more of an idea than he is a person. But we don't really need to get into that, because Joker in this movie just says out loud, "I'm an idea," which like, cool.
It's kind of like unobtainium in the Avatar movie.
Yes.
I'm going to put a bookmark here and then I'm going to come back and write something better. Mm-hmm. And then they forgot.
Yep. And it feels like that's what a lot of this movie was. And I'll never forgive this movie for starting the trend in major superhero movies and most major action movies of introducing a character by giving them a quippy one-liner and then freezing on them with a splash frame around them that has their name and maybe like a fact about them.
Right. Right. Like,
because that happens for every character in this movie. And that just started happening like in movies after this.
Okay. I'm running over to IMDb really quick, but keep going.
What else? I always forget David Harbour's in this movie.
I do too. I'm looking at the cast list right now and I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, David Harbour's in this. I thought Viola Davis as Amanda Waller was good.
Okay. Again, it's this particular movie, I make a lot of excuses for a lot of actors in this movie. Mm-hmm. Viola Davis is a national fucking treasure. You know, she's amazing every time she's on screen. I've never seen her do a bad job ever. Mm-hmm. You know, hate the whole Amanda Waller subplot going through all the DC movies of this time.
Okay.
It was just like, I'm like, I could give a shit. Give me a good Batman movie for fuck's sake. You know, mm-hmm. That's where I was with the DCU at the time. And Viola Davis, I think, is just another victim. Because, you know, they carried her over until she quit wanting to do it. And then in Peacemaker, she's like, mm-hmm. I'm not, no. So, I don't know. It's the other thing that you can do with this movie. Well, hey, let me do this. David Harbour was in it. Jared Leto was in it. An absolute waste of what's her name as the Enchantress.
Oh,
Cara Delevingne.
Yeah.
She had just gone through another waste with Valerian, mm-hmm. you know, in the City of 10,000 Planets, which was, again, a good IP with bad casting, in which she was cast well and did a good job, but the male lead in that was so fucking boring, mm-hmm. and bad and off tone that she fell flat. So you put her in this one where I think she did a pretty good job as the Enchantress. She certainly got the creepy vibe right. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end doing all.
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean she, but bad plot, bad dialogue.
Oh, absolutely.
Good actor.
I think for me, the one person who I can say delivers like a really good performance is Jay Hernandez as Diablo.
Yes.
Like, I think he is just amazing as that character. I wish he wasn't, again, wasted on this movie.
Yep. Yep.
Like, I think his motivations were the ones I believed the most. And him being just like upset over his wife and daughter and just kind of like lashing out at the end. And when he turns into like that big fire monster, like that was really cool.
The Aztec god or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. Good effect too. It was neat.
Oh yeah. I mean, there's
it was a good fight.
You know, the reason they say Oscar winner movie is because this movie did win an Oscar for, what was it, for costume design?
Oh, did it?
Yes.
Yeesh. Okay.
I'm double checking that right now, but I am almost positive this movie won an Academy Award.
So Jay Hernandez was Magnum P.I. for 96 episodes. He played Thomas Magnum. So if you were wondering where he was, he's been making a TV series since 2018.
And then he was also, he was in that Aztec Batman too.
I'm looking at that right now. Aztec Batman, Clash of Empires. That was last year, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Let's see what else. He was in The Expanse. For 5 episodes as Dimitri Havelock.
I have no memory of him in that at all. But yeah, my thing is, I think he deserved better.
Mm-hmm.
Because you look at The Expanse, that was an expensive little show to make. You look at Bad Moms, that was an expensive because of the cast that was in it. And then he gets Suicide Squad, and he's probably thinking to himself, "Fuck yeah, you know, I'm gonna get in this, and I'm gonna be part of this universe that repeats characters. I'm gonna be able to work for the next 10 years."
Mm-hmm.
You know, and instead he gets Will Smith.
Yep.
Jared Leto as Joker. Because there's a lot of hate on Jared Leto. You know, and mm-hmm. I don't get it. You know, is 30 Seconds from Mars my jam? No. But if it turns on the radio, I don't feel a need to turn it off right away.
I don't like him because of how he was on set for this movie.
Mm, I don't know this. Tell me.
So he's one of those like method actors.
Boo.
Yeah, that really gets into character. And so he was like just terrorizing the people on the set. Like he would leave used condoms on the set.
Ew.
Just all over the place. He did something, he did something like atrocious to Margot Robbie. He like mailed something to her. But he, and then just like all the weird shit with his weird cult island that he has going on.
But, I'm sorry, what? He's got an island? That never turns out well. Jesus, yeah, can you imagine if Ezra Miller had an island? Ezra Miller was in this too.
Yeah, he's got, you can go and do the Mars Island. It's a 3-night music festival and spiritual retreat organized by his band. Packages range from $1,500 to $6,500.
Yikes.
Featured daily yoga, meditation, movie screenings, and intimate concerts. Jared Leto and all his attendees were noted for wearing all white robes and linen clothing.
I dig it so far.
So that's weird. I think he's had some weird allegations come out against him.
Is he a sex pest?
Possibly. I'm not going to say yes before Googling that.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
It sounds like he's running a cult.
He mailed a dead rat to Margot Robbie during Suicide Squad.
I knew none of this. That's how little I think of Jared Leto. I had no idea.
Yeah, he was not cool.
Okay.
On the set of that.
That's nuts. Those method guys, they're fucking.
Yeah, he nuts. Sent somebody a. Let's see. Here we go. Listen to everything we know so far. It was willingly, publicly admitted that Jared Leto sent to Will Smith, Margot Robbie, and the rest of his Suicide Squad castmates a video message, a live rat, bullets, a dead pig.
Okay.
Anal beads, used condoms, sticky porno mags, and a love letter. It should be noted that Leto did not indicate who used the condoms.
That is worse somehow. That is worse.
Yes.
It's bad. It's bad in the first place, but that is worse. Okay. So your final thoughts on Suicide Squad?
Absolutely horrible movie, one of the most memorable and fun movie going experiences I've ever had.
I think that's fair. Well, let's take a little break. We come back on the other side. It feels like I sold out on this one. I'll explain.
Okay.
In a world where MAGA is banning and burning books, it is a revolutionary act to read. It's Monday in America is a bold collection from the left show's J.M. Bell about politics, family, aging, and the uncomfortable truths we keep avoiding. No talking points, just real life in a divided country. Order your copy of It's Monday in America today for just $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. If you're looking to feel hopeful or inspired, or if you're just frustrated and unsure about where we're headed, this book provides a unique look at the life of a Gen X liberal, the challenges and victories, and the question, what kind of world have we built for our children? It's Monday in America. $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. It's Monday in America. Better to die on your feet than live on your knees.
What if there was one place where comic book fans could get everything? News, reviews, debates, and deep dives every single week.
And not just we read one issue and Googled the rest kind of takes. We're talking 15 years deep, over 600 episodes.
That's right. The world's greatest comic book podcast has been breaking down Marvel, DC, indie books, movies, and fandom culture long before it was cool.
Whether you're a lifelong collector,
a casual fan who just saw the latest superhero movie,
or someone trying to figure out where to even start,
we have got you covered.
And we don't always agree, which makes it way more fun.
Yeah, way more fun.
New episodes every Tuesday.
Real opinions, real conversations.
Zero gatekeeping.
Check out the world's greatest comic book podcast at thecomicbookpodcast.com.
Hey kids, comics!
Hey folks, Jeff here. So, you want to start a podcast? Maybe you already did and it's just not going the way you thought it would. Well, here's the truth. It's not about the mic, it's not about the software, and it's definitely not just about posting episodes. It's about building a show that people care about. That's why I created the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy. It isn't theory and it isn't fluff. It's a step-by-step breakdown of what actually works. Choosing a name, choosing a topic, building your structure, growing an audience, trying to turn your podcast into a brand, and maybe even a business. If you're serious about podcasting, this is a good place to start. And if you're just tired of guessing, this is how you stop. Check out the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy and build something worth listening to. You can find more information at thelefshow.com. Let me before we jump into mine, my hot take, my unpopular opinion is Batfleck was robbed.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ben Affleck deserved a Batman movie. I don't necessarily know that it had to be the one he was writing or not, but I don't know if people remember this. He's an Oscar award winning writer.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to write a Batman movie. And I'm like, they should have let him. They should have let it happen. It's
very sad because I like Ben Affleck in most everything he's in. I thought he was really good in Argo.
Oh, yeah.
I feel horrible for him that he got to be Batman and he got Batman, Superman.
Dawn of Justice.
Yes, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, Gal Gadot's best work.
Kal-El, no.
I just, you know, that movie was so bad, it took a third character to give it any redeem at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it felt like they wanted to make like three movies.
Yeah.
But they were given the budget for one. And so they Frankensteined the entirety of what's that comic series? Dark Knight. It's the Frank Miller one.
Oh, the Returns.
Yes.
Dark Knight Returns. Yeah.
Yeah. It felt like they wanted to do that and then do Dark Knight 2 and then Dark Knight Master Race.
Yeah.
And they were told, you get one. So they Frankensteined this
we can
movie
fit it.
Together.
We can get it in there. We can do it. And Death of Superman.
Oh, yeah. And they wanted to do Death of Superman.
Yeah.
They wanted to do an entire, like, 5-6 movie saga. And they got told no.
So we'll show you.
We'll show you. We'll make one really bad one.
I was working for a candidate the year those two movies came out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a Batman movie. I bought the domain beabatman.com. Mm-hmm. Still own it to this day because there's no chance I'm getting rid of it. Mm-hmm. And then we use that as a portal for Democrats all over the state to register for tickets to go and see Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. Mm-hmm. From St. George to fucking Logan.
Oh, cool.
You know, and out both sides is we rented out a theater in everywhere there was a theater in each county. mm-hmm. and to do a screening of this, and then got, you know, Democrats to come out and watch it. And I was so excited, mm-hmm. you know, that I had started well south down in, I think, Spanish Fork, and we had visited theaters all up until I got to the one at the Gateway, which is where, you know, I had finished. Mm-hmm. And I was so excited. I was so fucking excited. And then we sat down, the movie started, and I'm like, okay. Okay. All right. All right. Oh, Martha. Okay.
Save Martha.
And all I could think to myself was, I just spent a shitload of somebody else's money to make a bunch of people I'm trying to get votes from to see this turd of a movie. It was hundreds of people.
If I had been a voting age at the time, I would have registered. That's awesome. That's so sick.
That was a fun campaign. I had a good time.
It's better than whatever the Democrats are doing now, but, you know.
They're not doing anything.
Yeah. DNC chair Ken Martin, century of humiliation.
Oh, man. They voted for the wrong dude. But that's another show. I'll bring mm-hmm. you on the left show.
Yeah.
Trust me. You're the key demographic we need voting this year. Mm-hmm. I'm actually not kidding. I'm going to start making you come on.
Okay.
Okay, the year was 1984. June 7th, 1984. The Indian military stormed the Golden Temple in Amritsar, the holiest site in Sikhism, to remove Sikh extremists. The attack and subsequent occupation resulted in hundreds of casualties, sparking outrage and violence. United States commando squads, administration, and congressional officials revealed that the Pentagon had established secret commando units for covert operations in Central America and the invasion of Grenada.
Cool. I'm glad that we just do that. Yeah. One more regime change, guys. I promise this one will work.
Yeah, you always have to wonder why the CIA was always so mad at Tom Clancy for accidentally guessing how they do shit in Central America. tornado outbreak. Massive and unprecedented storm system hit the American Midwest. The most infamous of these twisters was a nighttime F5 that obliterated the town of Barneveld, Wisconsin. That was June 7th into June 8th. Iowa was also hit with a record number of 30 tornadoes that caused multiple fatalities and billions in damages. Bruce Springsteen dominated the airwaves following the release of his seventh studio album, Born in the USA, which mm-hmm. dropped on June 4th, 1984, and audiences were preparing for one of the most highly anticipated cinematic weekends of the decade. The first powerhouse hit was Gremlins.
Great movie.
It is a fun movie.
Still so fun to this day.
Yep. When we do that, and we will do that, I will tell you why it's racist.
Oh, it is.
Oh, it's wildly racist.
It's horrifically racist.
Yeah. And Ghostbusters.
Who are you going to call?
That is who I'm going to call. So Ghostbusters, Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Harold Ramis, Ernie Hudson, Sigourney Weaver, Annie Potts. Oh, my heart aches for Annie Potts. I have had a crush on Annie Potts since I think Pretty in Pink.
Yeah, that's how I felt about Sigourney Weaver ever since I saw Alien.
Oh, yeah.
She's always been, she was my celebrity crush when I was very young.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And there's little doubt in my mind, it's the climbing into the spacesuit scene. Which I still shush the room to this day when that comes up. Because I was trying to introduce Tiffany to Alien before that last movie came out. And... She was having none of it. She was on her phone the whole time. And so...
I guess that's just so insane to me, because if Godzilla didn't exist, Alien and Predator would be my favorite franchises.
Yeah.
And not even close.
I love them.
Oh, yeah.
That new one, the weird one with, was it Dakota Fanning or Elle Fanning or...
Was that Requiem?
Predator something.
Romulus.
Yeah.
Oh,
no.
Oh, you're talking about
the one Prey. Prey. The newest one with he's carrying around half an android, and he's like a midget predator.
Oh, Predator Badlands.
Predator Badlands.
Yeah, it's a juvenile predator.
Yeah. He's short.
Mm-hmm.
And his dad wants to kill him because he's short.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's, you know, the fact that short people got no reason that wasn't over the end credits, I think is a missed opportunity. Now I can't remember who sang short people.
Is that Randy Newman?
Yeah, Randy Newman. Randy Newman, Toy Story guy. Love Randy Newman. So anyway, this was unlike anything that had come before it. It was a horror movie. It was a comedy. It was sci-fi. It was the cliche of the feeling of New York in 84 that hauntings would be treated like a utilities issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the main things I get from this movie still is, obviously I didn't grow up in the time when this came out, but like, it's just got so much nostalgia to it. It just, every scene just feels very nostalgic no matter when you watch it.
Yes. Yes. It did not feel like that when it first came out.
Okay.
But I do feel that when I watch it now. Mm-hmm. From setups and composition to color, you know, to the film treatment to lighting. The shit special effects that were so fucking cool back then,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm just sitting here tittering at them going, I could do that in After Effects right now and it would look so much better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to because I'm lazy, but I could. But yeah, no, I just, it was a tickle from beginning to end. I believe it is some of the most charming acting work Bill Murray has ever done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way his character interacts with Sigourney Weaver, where he's kind of creepy and too much. And then, you know, God bless them for this. When that flipped into, you know, Sigourney Weaver turn it into the possessed creature, he was like, mm-hmm. no, not without consent.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know what? That feels rare for an 80s movie.
Yes. It was a nice little breath of fresh air.
Yeah. Moment. I mean, Mars Attacks has an anti-trans joke in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it ruined the movie for me.
Yeah.
You know, back then, it made me uncomfortable. And then as I was older and had a better understanding of such things, I was watching it again, just like, isn't this great? What a funny movie. Isn't this hilarious? Isn't that? Oh. Oh, I forgot about that. Oh, shit.
It is a black mark on that movie.
Yep. Because otherwise that movie is genius from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just one cheap punch down in the whole fucking movie. Mm-hmm. You know, and it does. But so, okay. So it makes fun of science right away. Characters are established almost instantly because they structured it and wrote it to work so well for who they had, you know, come in. Ernie Hudson coming on as Winston, still to me is this brilliant casting from a brilliant actor for a reason that doesn't make any sense in the script. other than they maybe needed two Ghostbusters at a time in pairs somewhere, which I don't recall in the movie.
Yeah, because like the only time they really split up is when they're chasing the Slimer in the hotel, and that's just the three of them.
Yeah. Yeah, the Ernie Hudson character, as much as I love him, they gave him great lines. You know, it's acted by a wonderful actor. I can't imagine these movies without him. You know, the way they slotted his character in has never made any script writing sense to me at all. Mm-hmm. Other than they're like, hey, my buddy Ernie's coming to town. He's got a month off. So this movie cost $30 million to make and brought back domestically, U.S. and Canada, just under $300 million that summer.
Yeah. What can you say? The insane performance.
Such a goofy, goofy movie. Because I rewatched it here just the other day and stopped what I was doing to enjoy just how silly it is.
There are a lot of movies that I like putting on in the background. Mainly Godzilla films. But this is just one of those movies where whenever it's on, I just stop what I'm doing and watch it. Because it's not like I have Ghostbusters on. It's Ghostbusters is on.
I think one of my favorites in this was Timothy Carhart. He is a character actor that has been in an awful lot of stuff. If you know his face the minute you see it, you know, and he played the violinist and he usually, you know, would play a tough guy. I liked that. I liked Rick Moranis in this movie.
Oh, he was great as Lewis.
Yes. Absolutely great as Lewis.
Yeah. Just that absolute, like, just dork character that Rick Moranis plays so well.
I think it's a shame they couldn't actually get, David Bowie to play Gozer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. It's the weirdest bad guy in all of these movies.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, this lady's from a Vegas show. You know, it's is she doing the Caesar's Palace rendition of Cats? You know, because the effects were so silly, not a very scary bad guy. The dogs were scarier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not at 50-year-old me watching it, but at the time they were really good effects.
Oh yeah, the practical effects still look amazing.
Yeah, they do. They're
fun. Practical effects just always hold up so much better. I was talking to my friend Jake on just a drive home the other day. And
what's up? Shout out Jake.
Shout out Jake. We were talking about Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
And he asked me if I think there's another movie that's had the same cultural impact as Lord of the Rings. And I think Ghostbusters is one of those movies.
Yep.
That has just changed pop culture forever. You know, it's up there with like the first Raimi Spider-Man, Lord of the Rings, Star Wars. It's just one of those movies that, despite looking so dated and despite very much looking like it was made in the 80s, it is just timeless.
Yes. Yes. Is it true? It is true. This man has no dick.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant.
Brilliant. I mean, that's what I've heard. And what was that actor's name? Hang on a sec. William Atherton. William Atherton plays the best asshole.
Oh,
in
yes.
Everything. But yeah, the fact that he popped back up in Ghostbusters Frozen Empire and Ghostbusters Half-Life,
mm-hmm.
and you know, it's there's nothing about this movie that sucks. You know, There's nothing about it that's bad. Even the bad effects are charming and were really badass at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, they haven't aged as well as, say, Jurassic Park, but this was, at the time, for its scale and its scope, a pretty cheap movie. You know,
absolutely, yeah.
Expected to probably bring in around 80 to 90 million, you know, after all told. And instead, it blew up. And the only weird thing that came out of it was Huey Lewis and the News suing Ray Parker Jr. Now, my Gen X guys are going to know exactly. If you haven't, if you don't know this story already, it's going to make sense. But producers originally asked Huey Lewis and the News to write the Ghostbusters theme. Huey Lewis declined because he was doing something else, a little art house film called Back to the Future. And the film's production team hired Ray Parker Jr. During the editing of the film, producers had used a Huey Lewis song, I Want a New Drug, as a temporary background track. Mm-hmm. So when Ray Parker Jr. was given the assignment and only had a few days to do it, he basically just wrote new words to I Want a New Drug, you know, mm-hmm. and gave it a slightly sloppier backbeat. And you can play them back and forth. You know when the DJs mm-hmm. do the mixed songs?
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't even have to do it for this one. They just have to pod the vocals back up and down. But I know all the words.
Oh, for sure.
To this day.
No, I mean, you want to talk about an iconic theme song. I mean, what's more iconic than the Ghostbusters theme?
The only thing that I can do quicker in my life is when I knock on a door, it's the Terminator drum beat. Dun, 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 dun.
Oh,
dun.
Yeah.
that's how I knock on doors. I don't know when I started doing it. I just noticed it one day and was like, oh, that's odd. You know? Mm-hmm. And so every time I knock on a door, I hear, dun, 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 dun. And I think of Linda Hamilton. So I'm going to take that as an unintentional win. All right. I have nothing really more on this other than it made me want to watch Ghostbusters 2, The Secret of the Ooze. but that's not streaming anywhere right now, so I can't.
No, it's one of those things where streaming companies will have everything but one movie, so you have to go buy that one.
Yep. And I'm not in the mood. I don't want to see it so bad I'll spend $4 doing it.
No, I'll wait till it's streaming again.
Yeah.
It'll be back.
That's. I won't say the name of it because I want it to be a surprise, but one of the ones that I was going to have you do a couple weeks back is only available for $4. And I'm like, I don't have it. I do not have that financial flexibility at this time. So... And that's another thing that I try to do for you guys that are listening is I'm trying to pick stuff that you can stream really easily without having to pay for it. So you guys can watch along and have your own either nostalgia or introduction to the things that Braxton and I talk about. I haven't figured out a way to monetize that, but I'm gonna.
Yeah, I think there was only one that I actually had to like go and buy. And that was just like a personal choice.
Mm.
I can't remember which one it was. I think it was Rambo because it was streaming for free on YouTube. So I tried to watch it and I could not get the audio to work. Like,
no, and it was available for free with commercials as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that untenable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm watching a couple of different series right now and they're on the Hulu. And so there's commercials in it and it's jarring,
mm-hmm.
you know, it, to the point that in for better or worse, it reminds me that I'm watching something because it's usually here at my desk and I get to work and I'm not paying attention to what's on TV. And then a commercial will come on and I'm like, what the fuck just happened on my show? And I have to mm-hmm. go back. I've been watching,
pulls you back in.
the Taylor Sheridan shit right now. Finished off Yellowstone this last week. Got to find the story. We'll talk about this some other time because we're running up on the hour. But finding out why Kevin Costner quit. It's like you're going along a storyline in season five and then all of a sudden Kevin Costner's character's dead. He's the lead of the show. And it's just like, okay, I guess all the storylines come to an end right now. And then they finished it off with a lot of horse stuff.
We love a good horse segment.
So many horse segments, just professional cowboys doing professional cowboy horse shit. And I was there for it. Every time we went back to the story, I'm like, hey, they were dancing with the horse over there. Go back to the dancing.
Show
horse.
Me the cowboy stuff.
Yeah, it was great. It was funny as hell. So, I mean, I'm not sure where the fuck I was going with that. So I will take a delicate step back and say, hey, why don't you guys join us on Patreon where we should have just had the previous conversation?
That's a little taste of what you can get over on the Patreon.
Nom, nom, nom. Anyway, patreon.com/defenmedia. Every week that we record, we pop over some special content over there for the fine folks that support us financially. It's pretty inexpensive if you want to just take it for a test drive. You know, you're talking $5-$10. Yeah. Patreon.com/defenmedia. With that, thank you, Braxton. That was fun.
That was a lot of fun. It's always a lot of fun.
All right. Let's go have some more fun.
Let's do it.
Did you like the show? Join JM and Braxton on Patreon. Patreon.com/defenmedia. Each week they record, they upload additional content exclusively for the Patreon family. Patreon.com/defenmedia.